I'm talking to Liat Schlesinger. Liat is the head of investigative research at Molad, which is an Israeli think tank. We're going to talk a little bit about the price tag and about the rather shocking revelation in a recently published report by Liat about the fact, or that highlights the fact, that as crazy as it may sound, the Israeli taxpayer is funding price tag attacks. And she'll explain to us how that happens. So, Liat, first of all, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to say a few words about Molad before we start?
Okay, so Molad is a progressive and independent Israeli think tank, and we work on various topics. We have the academic department and the more investigative department, and we basically deal with a variety of issues that concern the Israeli society. So we had a lot of publications about, for example, the deal with Iran, about the settlement division, if you know this body in Israel, also, and the price tag was our latest report.
Right. So what I thought we'll do is maybe to talk about a certain misperception that I've noticed, particularly here in the United States, about what the price tag is. Many people think that price tag are just attacks, random attacks by settlers on Palestinians that do not have a further objective that goes beyond just the attacks and the vandalism and so on. But clearly, as you highlight in your report, price tag is a calculated strategy that has political aims, political targets. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Right. So basically, price tag is, like you say, in contrary to what common belief, it's not something that youth is just randomly doing. It's not some rotten apples. We're talking about a strategy that the leaders of settlers or the settlements, and specifically I'm talking about the Samaria and Binyamin local councils, have developed. And it came from the large and very big frustration that happened in the leadership of the settlement community that after the disengagement in 2005 realized that Israeli public is not, you know, their hearts are not within their project. So after the disengagement, they decided that they need to develop another strategy. And what we see from documents that we exposed, written by these leaders, and I'll tell you about the mechanism afterwards, but the documents show that it's a very planned strategy, and that the goal of it is to basically show the army and show the government that every evacuation of an illegal outpost can be a very small place or just like an illegal, you know, house, will cause a big reaction that will basically, you know, make them, make them pay, you know? Once there is an evacuation.
This is about deterrence, right? To deter the army from the Israeli authorities from removing illegal outposts.
Exactly, and it's very successful. So we've seen that, for example, they're very proud that, for example, in official documents that were published by NGOs that were founded specifically for their target, so in their publications, you see how they are happy and encouraging other members of other civilians to, for example, burn houses in response to an evacuation of an illegal outpost. So, for example, the message is to the army is that you're going to work very hard to calm the flames down because we're going to make a big mess. We're going to go into villages. We're going to block roads. We're going to stir up the surroundings, which is a very delicate and difficult, strategically wise for the army to control. We're going to make you work very hard in the aftermath of any evacuation. And you see that they're saying our purpose is to bring the government down on its knees. Okay. We're going to show them that it's impossible to evacuate illegal outposts and that you should just let go of this idea. And I think that, and you can see for themselves that For example, we all knew that after the evacuation of the two houses in Bethel a month ago, everyone knew, everyone in the army, everyone in the Shin Bet, everyone in the public knew there's going to be a response. We don't know where and we don't know when it's going to happen, but there's going to be a price tag. This is to show you that 7 years after this started, this policy or this strategy that they conceived was very successful.
So let's go now to the gist of your report, which is the issue of funding. And before I ask you about it, just to help our listeners understand about how this works, what the structure is of the settlements in the West Bank is divided in terms of the settlements that there are there into three regions. There is the northern region, which is called the Samaria region, and there's a regional council there that brings together all the settlements in the northern part of the West Bank, the Samaria or Shomron Regional Council. Then there is the Binyamin or Benjamin Regional Council, which is the central part of the West Bank. And then there's the Yehuda Regional Council, which is the southern part of the West Bank. And there's another one for the Jordan Valley. What happened with those councils? How were they used in order to create a new body that operates under them? And what was the role of that new body in relation to price tag?
So basically two councils, the Shomron councils and the Binyamin councils, they are funded by the state. Their budget relies heavily on the state. The majority of their money comes from Israeli taxpayers. And they decided to establish, each council established its own NGO, but the NGO is completely funded by the regional council. So basically they developed they founded an exterior body that can do things that the council can be related with. So we see that, I'll give you an example. It's like New York City would establish an NGO or a foundation that calls on to fight the government when the government isn't doing things that the mayor of New York doesn't like. And they will actively call citizens to fight the army or to break the law. So this is something that you can't imagine, right? You can't imagine, for example, for Tel Aviv City to do that.
Right.
But this happens in the West, in the settlements. So in 2008, Gershon Masika, who was the head of the Shomron Council, he actively supported the establishment of the Shomron Residence Committee. This is the NGO this body that was encouraging price tag activities. And this committee is funded by the regional council, and therefore it's funded by the state. You know, they never said that they were encouraging these activities, but when you look in their publications in the website, their previous website, or when you look at ads that they published, they without hiding it, actively encouraging price tag activities. They call on citizens to break the law in order to make it very hard for the army to do its job. And if you want, I can give you some examples of how they used to, for example, what did they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe just one or two examples, yeah.
So, for example, they said a series of outposts is currently being destroyed in the Shomron, Binyamin, and Judea. The forces come quietly to an outpost, demolish it quickly before protests develop, and then they retreat. So what they're saying is that past experience taught them that mobilizing masses to reach an outpost is very hard. So that's why they have to kind of, you know, go to their surroundings and make everything very difficult for the army to control.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying, in practice, blocking several junctions, building out tourists, and taking teenagers on hikes at unusual places will create a huge workload for the forces of destruction. They call the IDF forces of destruction.
Yes,
and
this is the same IDF that protects them. The same IDF that protects them from Palestinian violence. But
exactly.
Never mind.
Or they say, their purpose is to create, and I'm quoting, their purpose is to create a battle on several fronts.
Yeah.
The government will be unable to control it, and in the long run, will understand that such acts for example, as dismantling outposts are impossible. And then you see more and more publications when they're actively saying that, yeah, it's okay to go into Arab villages. And when there was a fire in someone, you know, as a price tag activity, after in the aftermath of a fire, when some fields were burned, Palestinian fields, they're raving it and they're saying how good it is for the battle. So this is a body that's funded by Israeli taxpayers, and it actually encourages illegal activity that are supposed to hurt the army. The whole message here is not that it's, you know, some, the way it started at least, you know, the way this policy and this strategy was conceived was not, okay, we're just going to harm Palestinians for I don't know what. They were doing it to send a message to the army and to government. And I think that was what's very shocking about this, that this is not something that they did under the table. This is something that they published. Now they're very ashamed of it. And you see that they took it out of their website and that they were kind of denying it. But just to think that the fact that these parties are funded by Israeli taxpayer money is very disturbing.
So I just what I'd like to do is just recap and explain. You know, when we started the conversation, we said that in an indirect way, the Israeli taxpayer is funding those price tag attacks. Just to explain how it works, and again, people who want to learn more about it are invited to read your report, which is linked to this conversation through our website. The way it works is that the Israeli government funds the regional councils, just like it funds or partially funds regional councils inside Israel proper. Those regional councils have created those nonprofit organizations, and those nonprofit organizations came up with and devised this method that they at first called solidarity, Arvut Hadadit, and then it kind of morphed into what we know today as price tag. Is that a correct depiction?
Yeah, it's exactly that. So the committees are almost entirely financed by the council. The council is heavily financed by the government, by tax money, Israelis' tax money. So in throughout the years, from 2008 until today, approximately 10 million shekels were transferred to this two committees, more to the Shomron, and it's like a 6.5 million to the Shomron committee and 3.5 also, I think, to the Binyamin committee. And I think what's interesting is that the heads of these committees, they always chose to present themselves as independent and disconnected from the establishment. Benny Katovel, who is the leader of the Shomron committee, actually said that he is not feeding or influenced by the local council, and that is an absolute lie because they are heavily, almost their entire budget is coming from the council. But they had this They really wanted to project this notion that they're independent. But as well as we can see, it's very easy to check the money and see where it comes from. But also we see that in their own publications, they are saying, we talked to the head of the council. He knows what we're doing, but it's best not to elaborate now. When you look in the protocols of these councils, you see that they have meetings and they are talking about these committees. So they can't claim that they didn't know what they were doing. It's very clear that they did, but they all went along with this kind of theater because basically these committees were founded to begin with in order to do for the black work or the something that the council can't be identified with. So they kind of, it's like, you know, they're stepsons. And this whole show was very easy to uncover.
One last question I'd like to ask you is if I understand correctly, what has basically happened with price tag is that originally it was devised as a method to deter the Israeli authorities from removing illegal outposts. And the nature of the attacks, although many of them were illegal, was rather petty. I mean, there was vandalism, there was blocking of junctions and things like that. It kind of spun out of control, if I understand correctly. And obviously, what we've seen in the village of Douma, the burning alive of Palestinians there, was kind of a symptom of how this phenomenon has spun out of control. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's escalated, and you see that in the police reports, saying that it escalated, and you see a lot of them. A lot of these people just got more confident throughout the years. And also, I have to say that PriceTag of 2008 is not the PriceTag of 2015. It spread to more places. We see acts like PriceTags also being used against minorities in Israel. So it's kind of the phenomenon still has a name, but it did change. I think what the public does not know is that originally it was used against Israeli soldiers, which I think is something that was not very, you know, common knowledge.
Good and good. It's not very good. Thank you. There's a lot more for our listeners to read about this in your report, which I think is really excellent. Thank you very much, Liat. Keep up the good work, and hopefully we'll talk again when your next report comes out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
All right.